Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the Local Church and the Kingdom series. This is Lesson 1, Discovering the Soil Upon Which to Build God's City, with Dennis Peacock.
If you would please turn in your manual, we will begin teaching number 1, looking at kind of a broad landscape, panorama, if you will, of where we want to go. It's entitled Discovering the Proper Soil Upon Which to Build God's City. And we are going to be trying to understand some of the obstacles to the building of that city that show up in the foundation. Now, by a point of review, you are all aware, we're all aware, that God placed the first Adam in a garden to tend it, to move out from the garden and to cover the whole earth with the will of God. That is why man was created. The scripture says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. God created man to fellowship with him, and that we would be his vice regents, and that we would colonize, if you want to use that kind of a word, the earth. And that the earth would fully come under the will of God through his deputy, man. The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou should visitest him? And the answer is, man was created to steward God's creation. And in the stewarding of that creation, to fellowship with his maker and become like his maker in that project. God tells us that in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. No reason to read it. You all know it. It's the so-called Great Commission of the Old Testament. The be fruitful and multiply and disciple the nations. Cover the earth with my will. Now, sin did not change man's DNA to take dominion. The Bible tells us that we were all created in the image and the likeness of God. What that means is that the same basic motivations that motivate God are in you. We have the DNA, so to speak, of our Creator. And I think that'll become very plain momentarily. Sin did not remove our DNA. It simply polluted it with self. It put mixture into us. That is, we would be part man in what we built and part God. As you remember in the scripture that I'm citing there in the notes, Matthew 16, 23, after Peter had identified Jesus by divine revelation from the Father, Jesus then began to speak about the cross and Peter rebuked him. Now, Jesus did not say to Peter, the devil's got a hold of you, and that you're speaking the devil's gospel. What he said is, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. The problem was not in the devil. The problem was in man. Our basic problem, my brothers and sisters, is not the devil. Our basic problem is us. Because there is now added to the DNA of God's creation in us a self-will and a self-life that is contrary to the will of God. And the cross is God's answer to dealing with that self. Peter apparently, and please hold this idea, Peter apparently was very susceptible to wanting to take authority over God's things in the name of man. Because in the next chapter, Matthew 17, we see Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration, and in the presence of the Transfiguration, Peter once again gets a good idea. He said, it's a good idea that we build 3 tabernacles. And that time, God the Father himself had to tell Peter to shut up. He just said, shut up. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him! Exclamation point. Sinful man has not rejected God's charge to take dominion. The unsaved, the world system, has tried to take dominion from the very beginning. Sin did not remove from us what our Father put in us. It just perverted it. But it's still there. What God had put in us is still there, twisted though it now has become. Man's sinful problems are usually God's commandments or God's gifts used in selfish or distorted ways. See, we think we can recognize the work of the devil because we think, you know, we have this picture of the devil in a little red suit and a pitchfork, and we all know what the devil does. I mean, it's really simple to recognize him. Friend, if deception were that easy, there wouldn't be so many admonitions about it. Deception is doing something that God wants done in a way other than the way God wants it done. You see, until you understand that, you're not even in the deception game. You don't even understand what it is. If deception were easily recognizable, it wouldn't be deception. The core of our fallenness is doing good things out of man's initiative and man's ideas. Now we see this in Cain. Cain is the second generation from Adam. He rejected the correction of God and he yielded to sin and he murdered his brother. Now as ugly as murdering his brother was, I would submit to you that that was not Cain's greatest sin. Because the Bible tells us that Cain built the first city. Where did Cain get the vision of building the city? I don't know of any scripture in Genesis prior to Cain building that city where God ever said, build a city, or anything like that at all. I know where he got the idea, and it wasn't the devil. You think it was the devil? You don't yet understand what I'm trying to say. He got the idea of building a city because he got our Father's DNA, and it's always been in the Father's heart to build a city for the glory of the Son. You see, it'd be easy for us to look at Cain and say, well, he did something that was really ungodly, murdered his brother. Well, you don't have to have much discernment to see that. But would you say the same thing about what he did in building the city? You see, we all, in our fallenness, have in us the DNA of God to do the things of God. We would be trying to do the things of God whether or not Jesus Christ ever came to earth. Men have always been trying to do the things of God. Our problem is not religious activity. Our problem is not attempting to do the things of God. Our problem is doing the things of God in a way that God does not want them done, or in a timing that is not His timing. Now we have to have clear ears to hear this because we're going after deep things and subtle things. Turn with me, if you would please, to Genesis 11. You are aware, I trust, I cited there in the notes. In Genesis 4:17, it says, Cain had relations with his wife. She conceived, gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after his son. Woo! Here is the DNA of God working in fallen men to build a city and name it after his son. Where did he ever get that idea? Because God the Father has the same thing in his heart, and he's building a city for his son. It's called the body of Christ. Where did Cain get that? He got it from the DNA of his created order. Men have always wanted to build cities and name them after his son because God created us to do that. Genesis 11. Now the whole earth used the same language in the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, by the way, they did not consult God because this wasn't about God. It was evident within the hearts of all men that a city should be built. They didn't need to take counsel. They didn't need to pray. They universally, like lemmings heading for some catastrophe or like the animals that headed towards the ark, they didn't need to take counsel. All of them wanted to build a city because it was in their genes. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into the heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered over the face of the earth." The Lord came down, you know the story. Verse 6, God said, "Now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So now we must go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." Now let me say this. Not only do we have the innate desire to build a city for ourselves, we have the power of success apart from God. You see, one of the things I marvel at in the religious community is when we see some successful organization or some successful church, we automatically think God built it. Because there's no way it could have happened unless God did it. My friend, if there's ever a group of people that need to be delivered from the foolish idea that success means God is with you, it is the church in the Western world. These people had all the success. They were so successful, God said, if we don't interrupt their success, they will achieve a horrendous effect. Not only do we have the power in our fallenness to build things, we have the power in our fallenness to be very successful at it. God deliver us from believing that success is the earmark of God. This man was very successful. There's no other place in Scripture that I know of where God said their success is so great we will have to personally interrupt it. Now there's another story that begins here before too long. It's a story about a man named Abraham, who the Bible says is the father of us all. You see, Abraham had the same thing in his heart. He knew that God was going to build a city. But Abraham, the difference between Cain and the builders of the Tower of Babel in that city and Abraham, was that Abraham didn't want to build that thing unless and until God commissioned him to build it and gave him the instructions on how to build it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Abraham, as a sign of a faithful man, Hebrews 11:8-10, he went out looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Now what I find so interesting here about all this is I'm laying some foundation. Is that God's city did not even begin to be built until three generations came together relationally. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Cain started building a city almost 2,000 years before God began to build his city through Israel. So I only missed God by 2,000 years. That makes me feel better. Because I've missed God a lot in my life. And I still ain't missed Him by 2,000 years. How many of you miss God in here besides me? You should feel better now because at least you didn't miss Him by 2,000 years. How many of you know if you were living that long, you could miss Him by 2,000 years? But see, God, as much as He put this thing about His city in us, wants to make sure that we are not going to attempt to build the city, no matter how badly we want to do it, until God commissions us to build the city and we know the way He wants it built. Now, the reason I'm nervous, and I know I'm touching the Almighty stuff here, which makes me feel very insignificant, and I want to say, who am I to talk about this stuff? The purpose of this conference is to challenge the city that is being built in the name of Jesus. Not the whole thing, but elements of it. Because major elements of what is being built in the religious community in the name of Jesus, I submit to you, is not built on the right foundation. And because it is not built on the right foundation, it is not producing enough of the city of God to call the nations into it. See, I read the end of the book, and the book ends with the theme of a city coming down out of heaven, the New Jerusalem, which is a relationally knitted people, and the fruit of that city touching the earth is the nation stream into that city. See, I would like us to think about evangelism, not just in terms of going out, but building something that is compelling enough that people must come in. But it has to be built according to the pattern. Now, God's answer to the problem of sin was not a vision. It wasn't a program. God's answer to the problem of sin was a son. That's deeper than we might think. You see, why didn't God the Father just appear Himself in His Shekinah glory and fix the thing? It's because His answer to man's problem was sonship coming out of His fatherhood. The city is built on sonship. Now, we want to build it on vision. We want to build it on programs. We want to build it on success. We want to build it on anything but God's plan for building the city. He wants to build the city on a son. And as He said in Matthew 13, when He talked about the planting of God in the earth, He said the planting of God in the field are the sons of the kingdom. God is into planting sons. Ladies, that's you, because it isn't about gender. God's answer to the nations and God's answer to sin and God's answer to this tremendous desire that man has to build something is to build it on a son and through sons. Now, we don't know the amount of warfare and deception that is working against us to try and build on something other than that. But friend, I think I'm getting clear. I know that God's answer to the earth is biblical sonship under the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to build some other way than God the Father, be my guest. But I want to build the way God builds. God's building through sons and daughters. Now, Paul taught us, the Holy Spirit taught us through Paul, that major demonic forces exist which can get on us, not just individually, but as a group. He tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts in heavenly places. Tom Marshall, who is a man I deeply love, came to one of our institutes a number of years ago that we did on spiritual warfare. And in that institute, he introduced the most profound teaching I've ever heard on powers and principalities. Those of us that were there to hear that, it was mind-boggling. I don't think we really understood the implication as we should have what we heard. He shared with us, and this is in Spiritual Warfare, tapes 7 and 8, he pointed out the five powers, or the four powers, that Jesus confronted in His earthly ministry to build the city. Military power in Rome, religious power in the synagogue, economic power in the Herodians, and demonic power in Satan and his demons. And he also pointed out to us the Hebrew etymology of the word city, IR, can essentially be translated the watching angel or the guardian spirit. The word city means a watching angel or a guardian spirit. Jesus used exactly the same teaching in Revelation 2 and 3 when He addressed the seven angels or seven itars that watched over the seven churches. He really was talking about the seven cities in which the seven churches of those two books, Revelation 2 and 3, that He was addressing. He's not talking about seven Holy Ghosts. There's only one Holy Ghost, only one Holy Spirit. He's talking about seven watching angels or seven spirits that typify and to some degree control the very corporate nature of each one of those seven churches. Put another way, there is something that gets on us that actually becomes a spirit or an angel or a corporate entity, which when it is not from God is called a power that begins to take over the way that we conduct our business, and we're not even aware of it until we see it. It is a watching angel. Now, the implications of this are huge. This spirit or this power is in fact what Paul was talking about when he said the problem the church has is it is waging battle against powers of great deception that you can't see them until you can see them because you're too caught up in what they have created in our corporiety. You can't get far enough away from them to get a perspective to see what that thing is that's got a hold of you. And what we're here to talk about, among other things, is to ask the Spirit of God, and I do that again right now, that the Holy Spirit would distance us enough from ourselves and what we're building to see to what degree this same Spirit that was behind the Tower of Babel is operating in what we're building, building something different than and out of another pattern than God's pattern. I'm sneaking up on this conference because I know what I'm after. And only God can grant us that level of revelation to distance ourselves enough from ourselves to see what is on us. Now, one of the greatest problems that we all have, I'm in this with you, friend, I'm talking to me, not just you, is we don't see our own fallenness as we ought. If we saw our fallenness and our corruption, we would live differently. See, the spirit of the city of man says, just do what's in your heart. See, psychology and the wisdom of the world is now telling us, and it's in the church big time, that if you can just find out what's in your heart, that's the will of God and that's what you ought to do. My problem with that is the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Why in God's name would I want to find out what is in my heart? Let alone put God's name on that and say that is what I ought to do. But see, we don't even know our own Bibles well enough to know that the Bible declares our hearts are in deception. You say, brother, what's in your heart? What do you want to do? That is not the right question. The question is, what saith the Lord? Not what is in your heart. If you think your heart is the receptacle of truth, you inhaled what Bill said he didn't. The city of man is always built with good intention. It's always coming out of the heart of man because it's in the heart of man to build a city. It's always coming out of the heart of man because it's in the heart of man to build a city. The question is, how will it be built and for whose glory? Now, we must build our cities the way God is building His, and He is building His city relationally. Not on programs or themes, but joint to joint, life to life. God has given us the model of Himself as the city. You see, if I want to see the city, what I have to see is the Trinity. Because the Trinity is the core of the city. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are within themselves a community. I said earlier, friend, my model for what the church ought to look like, people, you know, again, this is how goofy we are. We say, oh man, I want to build a New Testament church. I'm going to go back and study Acts. Well, yes, but friend, the men and women in Acts were fallen men, just like us. If I want to study how to build the city, I'm going to study God, not man. The only perfect city that's ever been built is the city that is God. And if I want to know how to build, I better study God, not man. I want to know how God the Father relates to God the Son. I want to know how God the Son relates to God the Father. I want to know how God the Father relates to the Holy Spirit. I want to know how the Holy Spirit relates to the Son. You see, in the city of God, which is Himself, we have a division of labor. We have separated authority and powers. We have spiritual submission. We have everything that God has provided for us to build His city in man is first demonstrated in Himself. I wonder if you hear what I'm saying. We need to study God before we start building a city. Cain started 2,000 years too early. The city that God built through man came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was generational. I've been in a lot of places in this world and a lot of churches, and I have to say that they may exist, but I cannot think while I'm speaking right now of one church anywhere on this earth that is being led by the grandchildren of the founders, because the whole spirit of the city of man tells us that you cannot build on another man's vision, that you're not a man, you're not spiritual, until you come into your own vision. It doesn't matter what Abraham thought. Isaac was supposed to get his own vision, the city of man would tell us. It wasn't until three generations finally were willing to remain connected that God could even begin the city with Joseph, its first ruler. It took three generations that were free of the disease of let's build something for our own glory before one ruler could be produced, Joseph. You see, we're trying, and you all know where I am. I trust on dominion. I believe in all that good stuff. But what is wrong with where we are in the dominion mandate and in reconstruction, the stuff we're trying to do, is we're trying to build a Joseph without Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God will not release the ministry of Joseph until we get some fathers and some sons and some grandsons and daughters that don't think they must find their own vision. This disease, this city of man, is so bad that it's hoodwinked all of us to a greater or lesser degree in this culture of believing that our sons and daughters have to leave home to find themselves, and they probably should not do what we're doing. The world is so filled with this city of Cain. It doesn't understand the sovereignty of God. It does not understand that the reason God puts kids in a family may be for the continuity of the vision of that family and maybe even the work of that family to be expressed through three generations. Because if you do that, you might produce a Joseph. And if you produce a Joseph, you might produce a people who might eventually be able to say to Pharaoh, "We're out of here." You see, Joseph had enough power in the sonship of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that when he left, his bones were so powerful that they began a nation that came through his granddad. You're not going to rule until you've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now let me say this to you in the churches. This disease has so infected us that the elders of our churches think that we have to move out in order for them to come into what they're supposed to come into, because the disease is in the ecclesiastical world just like it's in the natural world. And what that guarantees is no continuity. That means that every generation of leaders is going to have to find their own vision, which means we will never find Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I hate that thing. It's right out of the pit of hell. And until we deal with that thing in us and in our churches, we'll never find our way to Joseph, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't find God the Father telling God the Son to get his own vision and grow up. What I find is a son who says, "I do nothing on my own initiative." I find a son who said, "As the Father does, so I do. I only want to do what the one that sent me said to do." And apparently he did not have a personality problem or some kind of insecurity because he didn't have his own vision. As a matter of fact, his whole life is a display of a man who laid down and emptied himself of his vision that another man's city could be built. Is that in your sons and your daughters? Is that in your elders? Is that in your ministries? Or are they out there trying to discover their own vision, which guarantees chaos and destroys the continuity of generational transfer? What are you building? What are you building? What am I building? See, my life means nothing on one level if my three children and my wife and I are not two generations knitted together in the purposes of God. Adam has never come to me and said, "Dad, pray for me that I'd get my own vision." And if you know Adam, Adam is not my clone, and Rachel's certainly not my clone, and KJ is not my clone. I'm not interested in clones. I'm nobody's clone. But thank God, when I saw that thing, I said, "I will not allow that demonic power to get into my family." Because I'm looking for a city that's been built by God, not by man. I'm not interested in Cain's house. I'm interested in Abraham's house. I want to see Joseph come out of my grandchildren. And the only way to get him there is for Adam and Rachel and KJ to understand that they need to give themselves to a vision with continuity. I wonder if you hear what I'm saying. You see, when that thing is on us that says, "Give me mine." See, the prodigal son is exhibit A. "Give me mine. Give me mine." You're heading for the pig pen. We need to build churches where you don't have to destroy the fathers or push them out of the way, but you need to take Abraham or Isaac or Jacob's vision and build on it the way God's called you to build on it. I'm not talking about everybody doing exactly what Abraham did or Isaac did. The Bible doesn't teach that. But they were not looking for some other city. They were looking for their daddy's city. They were looking for the city that motivated their dad. And they weren't apologizing to anybody about it. Where are the churches in the body of Christ where the men are standing up and saying, "My father worked on this building. My father and his generation laid their lives down for this vision to get us here. And we shall pick up that vision. And we shall take personal responsibility for the work that God has called us to do on that building. And we shall give that building over to our sons and our daughters. And we will make sure that the watching angel that is controlling this building, this city, does not demand of them and divert from them the vision once delivered to those who began to build." I know what's in your mind. Same thing's in my mind, because my mind's fallen just like your mind. That kind of talk makes us so nervous, because what happens in us says, "What about me? Hey, brother, what about me? What about... Hey, man, I got a ministry. What about me?" How many of you thank God that Jesus never said, "What about me? What about my vision?" What are we building? What spirit is watching over our city? I'm not going to get through all these notes, and I don't care. Let me just read this verse. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 18. "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired." Are you in your church because you desire to be there, or because God placed you there? And how do you know? See, the city of man, because it's building a name for itself, is continually trying to draw new people into the city. They don't care if the name written on the forehead of the people coming into their city matches the name that's on their city. We don't care, because we'll never make it into Charisma or Christianity Today. We'll never make the hit parade of religious success if we check in the names on the foreheads in the spirit of the people coming into our churches. Just bring them in. Doesn't matter if God had written the name of your city on their foreheads. As a matter of fact, if He wrote the name of your brother's church down the street, especially you want him in, because then you've got the subtlety of saying to him, "Hey, obviously I got something for your brother that you didn't have. We're the ones that are really into it down here." See, if God is sovereign and God is the one that places people in churches, you and I should not allow anybody to stay in our city whose name is not written in the city. That cuts across everything that is in us. that wants to build a name, that wants size, that wants success. I wonder if we have the courage tonight to change the way that we build and to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, send them all, but the only ones that can stay are the ones who have the name of our city on their head, because you placed them. They're not here because it's a good idea. They're not here because they like the preacher. They're not here because they like the day school. They're not here because they like the Sunday school. They're here because the name of the city is written on their forehead, and the leadership that is sitting in the gates of this city know how to read the name of the city on the people that come. See, I give you another definition of an elder in the Spirit. An elder in the Spirit is somebody with enough maturity that's got enough of the name of their city in them, they can recognize somebody else that comes in with the same name. You see, you can't recognize the name unless you are the name. An elder is somebody that is the name. Therefore, they recognize other citizens of that city. I want to wrap this up. I used to bury things with too many ideas, trying to get healed. There are two cities being built in the body of Christ right now. I'm thinking of a poem. I don't know if it's Yeats, The Second Coming, or I have this line, one dead, the other one yearning to be born. The world system is enough in us that probably a large part of what we are building is going to fall to the ground. All that it will take to make that happen is the right shaking. Now, God promises us in Hebrews that He is at some point going to shake everything that can be shaken so that the nature of the cities can be revealed. You see, on a minor scale, when God puts us through testing, what He's revealing is which city is in control of our life. And what He's trying to shake out of us is that thing that is in me and you and us in our fallenness that wants to do something our way in our time to build a name for ourselves. Now, we would never say that because we know better. But it's there. You see, to build this city, we're going to have to start playing hardball. Hardball with ourselves and hardball with one another. We all play a game that shows up in different ways called I won't tell if you won't tell. I won't tell what I see on you if you won't tell what you see on me. I won't read your eyes if you won't read mine. I won't read your voice if you won't read mine. The city of man is built playing that game. It is what we mean when we say politics. Politics is the conspiracy that we all play when we're building the city of man. God has got to intervene and interrupt that game. It's not going to be pretty and it won't always be easy. But it must happen. We've got to come to the place, and this is a leaders' conference. Everybody in here leads something, if nobody else, yourself. We've got to come to the place where when we smell the city of man on ourselves or one another, we raise our hands and say, time out. I'm getting a smell here. It smells like man. See, God is working hard on me. I'm very far from a finished product. The Lord said, amen. One of my games is because I tend to be a fairly trusting soul, is to tell myself stories about what I see so that I don't have to deal with what I see. I have decided not to do that again and not to do that anymore. You see, in the name of being nice and in the name of believing that it'll all work out, it won't. I was working in the garden last year. My wife, my dear wife, pressed me to get into gardening, and that's good for me. I don't know if you know this, I used to arrange flowers. A lot of the men got angry when I said that. They said, you just destroyed my image of you. It was my Ferdinand the Bull period, and I loved it. I'm not artistic. It's the only thing I've ever done that was even close, but I loved it. I really did. But I was gardening, and the Lord said to me, Dennis, the natural condition of the garden is weeds, not flowers. You see, I've lived like a man who believed that the natural condition of the garden was flowers. It isn't. It's weeds. In a fallen world, it's weeds. It's weeds in me and weeds in you. And if we are not diligent to spot the weeds, call the weeds weeds, and pull the weeds out by the roots, which means if you don't get the roots, you're going to get them again. We got to break through the conspiracy of not telling what we see and not smelling what we smell and say what we see. So that we as leaders, when we hear something coming out of the pulpit that sounds like glorifying ourselves, we properly, biblically say, excuse me, something stinks. I think I smell something. See, and the lie that we believe is, if we live like that, we'll never have any fun. If we live like that, it'll be like living in the middle of the FBI. But the Bible does not say that. The Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says if we will be self-revealing, if we will fall on our own swords, if we will not try and conceal ourselves, if we walk in the light with one another, the exact opposite of the FBI spirit is what happens. We have koinonia with one another, and we fellowship with God and each other. Now, in this context, I close with this. We had a board meeting, and we wrestled for 2 days with this question. By what authority are we doing what we're doing? Because authority is all about who sent you. There is no other kind of authority in God's city. I wonder if you hear what I'm saying. By what authority doest thou the things that thou do? Jesus didn't have to defend himself because he wasn't there doing his own vision. He wasn't self-appointed. He was a man under authority, the authority of his Father's vision, and he didn't need his own. Let me ask you a question that I want to invite you to wrestle with. By what authority are you building your church? Who sent you? The Bible says every house is built by someone, not a committee, by someone. God does not birth things through committees. God births things through sons. It's the only way He knows how to birth anything that He is building. Who birthed what you building? Did you start it because it was a good idea? Or did it come out of somebody who God sent as a son to birth it? You see, I understand the havoc that this word would cause in the evangelical world and to us as good, freedom-loving Americans, which means we don't give a rip about Dad. I understand the havoc of this message. I understand the warfare behind this message. But my question is to those who would wage war, show me where Jesus Christ worked out of His own vision. Who sent you? Every house is built by someone. Who commissioned you to build what you're building? By what authority doest thou those things? Say, God sent me. Oh, really? How? How do you know He sent you? I'm sure Cain, somewhere in his soul, would say that God sent him to build that city because it was in his heart. Friend, it's in the heart of the devil to build a city. Just because the building of something is in your heart doesn't mean it's God. That's in the devil's heart. Because everything that God has created has it in their heart to build a city. By what authority are you building your cities? By whose initiative? Say, God is blessing my ministry. Well, somebody blessed the ministry of the Tower of Babel. It was so blessed, God had to interrupt it. Is what you're building so blessed that God is going to have to interrupt it? You see, we need a dose of the fear of the Lord. We need a dose of the fear of the Lord. If it took God 2,000 years after Cain to start building his city, because the foundation was laid in the Spirit through generations, if it took that long to produce Joseph, Why do we think that because we want to build something, we don't have to go through similar work? We're going to deal in hard questions because we need hard questions. I need hard questions directed against me. God has me wrestling with hard questions. The question I want to invite you to wrestle with is, which city are you building? And how do you know? And who sent you? And how do we know who sent you? Everybody says Jesus sent them. I don't think Jesus sent everything out there that's wearing His name. Do we agree, in a sense we do, that we need to stand against the sword of the Word of God? And we need to let that sword cut. We need to let it do its work. God, do it in me. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California 95405.